Mission Mobilization Chats with Ryan Cho, Multiplying Mission Mobilization Movements. This podcast is powered by Global Mission Mobilization Initiative. Subscribe, watch, and listen on YouTube today. Find more exciting resources, teachings, and tools for mission mobilization on globalmmi.net.
Well, welcome to our 38th episode of Mission Mobilization Chats, where we're looking in depth at this ministry of mission mobilization and getting in depth with it, breaking it apart a little bit so that we can really understand what mission mobilization is all about. So in this particular episode, we're going to be looking at core spiritual life aspects of mission mobilization in our local ministries. You know, there are many practical elements that are connected to mission mobilization. I like to call them kind of slices of a pie, or like a pizza, you know, a round pizza that's cut up into many different slices. Well, that's how we can understand mission mobilization, is that there are many practical elements within mobilization that God actually wants to impart to his churches and to the global church as one corporate body through this ministry of mobilization. And these aspects of mobilization, they actually go way beyond the periodic kind of waving of the flag of the unreached, or waving the flag of global mission as we generally understand it. All right, that's why it's so important to look in detail at mission mobilization, so that we can start to understand it and see it as this big entity, this big ministry that God is really calling us to move forward in, related to mission mobilization. Now, mobilizing local ministries, it means mentoring our members. It means teaching them. It means coaching them to engage with God's heart for the nations, yes, but then also to be engaging with true discipleship, aspects of true discipleship. And that's what we're going to be looking at in this particular episode. And I've learned over the years, in my observations of, you know, being involved in mobilization ministry for over 20 years now, I've observed this, that it's growth in these areas, these core spiritual life aspects, that growth in these aspects is actually a major factor in whether or not a local ministry will effectively partner with Jesus in his great commission. All right? If we don't get these core spiritual life aspects right, then there's a good chance that our local ministries will struggle to effectively grasp and be activated in the Great Commission that Jesus has. And so each local ministry then is meant to create an environment where these specific spiritual life aspects of mission mobilization can be highlighted in very creative ways, can be integrated in creative ways, so that there's this environment cultivated that our members and that our local churches can be growing up into spiritual depth that the Lord is really looking for. Now let's consider these core spiritual life aspects of mission mobilization. So we're going to talk about five of them. All right, and we're going to use a phrase to introduce each one of them. And so this phrase is this, that mission mobilization is calling believers and churches to these five things. Okay, one by one, we will bring them up. So mission mobilization is calling believers and churches to some specific things. All right. Now, as we go through these five areas, I want you to see these as just an introduction. We're just going to be barely scratching the surface. This is just a short, you know, 30-minute kind of podcast episode. So there's much, 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 much more that could be said about each one of these five areas, these core spiritual life aspects. And so I encourage you to take these five and go and study more about them. If you're a pastor or a leader, go and find out more information and ways that you can be encouraging your churches and your local ministries related to each one of these five areas. Okay? So the first one Mission Mobilization is calling believers and churches to cooperate with the two great purposes of redemptive history. To cooperate with the two great purposes of redemptive history. Right? Now, Scripture clarifies in many different places, and the whole counsel of Scripture definitely highlights these two core areas as the focal point of redemptive history. All right? So these two, they are the great purposes that God has on His heart for His local or for His global church, for His corporate body, the corporate body of Christ. Now, one revolves around who we're becoming inwardly, and the other revolves around who we are becoming outwardly. Right? And both of these actually build on one another. So we can't just get excited and encourage people about what God wants the church to become outwardly if we're not first building on what God wants the church to become inwardly. Because the outward flows from the inward. And we've done way too much mobilization over the years trying to get people excited about missions without first seeing them radically in love with Jesus Christ. All right? So the first one, these two great purposes, is the spiritual maturing of the body of Christ. This is a great purpose on the heart of God. God wants His body growing up into the depths of discipleship that He has laid out in Scripture, laid out in the four Gospels that He's given to us. So another way we can put this is growing into Jesus' great commandment, all right? Loving God with all of our being, as well as our neighbors, as ourselves. And so this first great purpose of the spiritual maturing of the body of Christ, what this is really getting at is progressing from spiritual immaturity, which is where a lot of the body of Christ is right now, still sitting in the introductory ideas of the kingdom of God and never actually progressing into the meat or the maturity that the Lord intends His church to really walk in. All right, so that's the first great purpose that God has, that Jesus is working on, that the Holy Spirit is determined to do within the heart of every believer and within the life of every local church. Okay, the first great purpose of maturing the body of Christ spiritually. Now, the second great purpose of redemptive history is the bringing in of a complete harvest among every single ethnic people group through the channel, through the vehicle of the activated body of Christ. This body of Christ that is growing into spiritual maturity that we talked about in the first great purpose of God in redemptive history. All right. So the second actually comes through the first. Our growing up into spiritual maturity enables the body of Christ to be used of God and to be the vehicle of the Holy Spirit to bring forth His complete harvest among every single ethnic people group across the planet. So we sometimes call this is the greatest justice movement. To see this great harvest, this massive complete harvest from every single ethnic people group. It's the greatest justice movement that humanity could ever experience. Because it's rooted in true biblical justice. We hear a lot about justice these days, don't we? There's a lot of protests, a lot of arguments for justice, even in the churches. Okay, and we agree with that. The Bible has a lot to say about justice, but we have to understand it from God's perspective, not from the human wanting to get back at people type of justice. Okay, so achieving the second purpose from God comes out of the first. All right, I kind of alluded to that. It flows from faithfulness to the first great purpose, okay, that God has. And so the second cannot happen. The second great purpose of a massive, complete harvest from among every single ethnic people group. And we're talking maybe 30, 40, 50% of that unreached currently people group coming into the kingdom of God, coming to saving faith, growing up as true, mature disciples. We're not just talking about a small group, a handful, one or two believers from every people group. No, The Lord intends so much more than that. Maybe up to 50% coming to Jesus from among every single people group. All right. So equipping our local ministries then to bring attention to these two great purposes of God for redemptive history, this is a massive aspect of mission mobilization. All right? If we're not teaching these regularly, if believers in our ministries are not growing into maturity around these two areas, personally growing in spiritual life with Christ, dwelling in Christ, abiding in Christ, this abandoned devotion that we sometimes talk about with GMMI, as well as this aspect of teaching the people of God's great purpose to bring in a great harvest at the end of the age. These must be embraced by our local churches, but they also must be taught. So we have to do some effort as leaders to help our churches understand these. Now, the second core spiritual life aspect we want to look at, again, our statement is this: mission mobilization, number two, is calling believers and churches to grasp the depth of spiritual life needed in mission. Okay, so this is a little different. The first one talked about these two great purposes of God in redemptive history. The first one, growing us up into spiritual maturity, yes. Now this one is that we need our churches to grasp the depth of spiritual life that is needed in cross-cultural mission. Now, the New Testament talks a lot about this, and it actually reveals that the Holy Spirit's standard for missionaries, his standard, spiritual standard for message bearers, is not age. Sometimes we think, well, let's just send out the young people, or no, they have to be, you know, 60 years old. Okay, no, neither of those is exactly accurate, because the Bible actually doesn't use age as a measuring stick at all for spiritual development. Instead, what the qualifying factor, the criteria, is always not age, but spiritual depth. Spiritual depth. All right? If we're going to reach the still remaining unreached people groups, then we need a body of Christ. We need an army. We need large numbers of believers who are very deep in God, who are not going to be blown over by the first sign of trouble. All right. So what does this mean, that we're growing in spiritual depth? Well, it includes growing in spiritual maturity. That means that these missionaries, these message bearers, they possess experiential understanding of Christ, of his word, and of his ways. They're not just familiar with the content of the Bible. Many Christians know the Bible backwards and forwards. No, we're talking about something different. We're talking about experiential knowledge, not just head knowledge, not just knowing information, but instead having that information transform our lives and then able to teach others related to it, related to Christ, his word, and his ways. These kinds of believers, their spiritual lives are dynamic. All right? They are marked with a love, a passion even for God's word. They don't, maybe every once in a while they're bored a little bit with their Bible study, but generally the Bible is alive to them. Okay, they're learning from it. They're discerning, understanding in it. And the Holy Spirit is teaching them consistently. They love God's word. And then they also encounter him in worship and prayer. Their prayer lives are vibrant. Okay, they don't need to be in a group, a corporate worship time to worship Jesus. No, in their bedroom, in their study room, wherever, in their car, in their vehicle, on their motorcycle, whatever. They are able to encounter the living God through worship and prayer in a significant way. They're also discerning his voice. These kinds of believers, the depth of spiritual life that is needed in mission, are believers who know his voice and know all the counterfeit voices and aren't listening to those kinds of voices. All right? So with this one, mobilization then is calling local ministries to pursue the highest standards of true discipleship, all right, within the local churches, so that when they scatter out missionaries, when they scatter out message bearers to the unreached peoples, they're scattering disciples that are of the highest spiritual quality. All right? Not kind of the new believers, not the untested ones, not the unproven ones. We've done a lot of that in our sending, and it's created horrific circumstances. All right? And when we do it that way, we're actually not in line with what the Word of God teaches, that we need a depth of spiritual life in our mission sending, in those that can rightfully engage in working among the unreached peoples. All right, now the third area. So, what's our phrase? Mission mobilization is calling believers and churches to the third area to be rooted in God's Word. So mobilization is calling believers under our leadership to be rooted in the Word of God. Calling all the local church communities to be rooted in the Word of God. All right, what does this mean? Well, disciples of Jesus are committed to embracing the Bible as God's perfect and authoritative revelation for all humanity. All right? Believers are meant to be growing in experiential knowledge, as we just described, of the Bible throughout their entire lifetimes. And yet what we find, unfortunately, is a bit of a concerning trend across the body of Christ, that generally today, believers are becoming less biblically astute, less aware of Scripture. All right? We know it less and less and less and less. All right? And this is called being biblically illiterate. It's not that we can't read the Bible. Of course, we can read it, many of us. All right? But it's that we don't really know it that well. So we're not growing as believers in reading, studying, and meditating on the Word. Instead, we're just kind of listening to the preacher on Sunday, or we're listening to the Bible study leader on our Tuesday or Wednesday night, whatever it might be that we meet. Well, this is not enough. We need believers that are rooted in the Word of God. And this has to be seen as a part of our mobilization. That if we want to see a generation going forth and reaching the unreached, we have to be wholly committed to discipling them and making them rooted in the Word of God. All right, so this is a significant aspect of mobilization for our local ministries. And one area of this is the idea of becoming a vibrant student of God's Word. This is God's will for every single believer. Okay? Not just for pastors. Sometimes we think, well, it's the pastor's job. They're the ones that has a little extra time to do that Bible study so that they can prepare and they can give us the Word. No. Every single believer is meant to be have a lifestyle of being a vibrant student of the Word of God. All right. So the way that we do this as local ministries, if we do it well, or to the measure, to the degree that we do it, will actually impact our ability to engage in the Great Commission. It really will. Okay. So local ministries, we've observed over the years, that are weak in rootedness in Scripture, they're actually unable to press forward effectively in the Great Commission. Right? They have a lot of believers that are introductory believers that maybe have been born again for 5, 10, 15 years, but they're still infants in terms of the depth of their understanding in the Word of God. They're not rooted very well in the Word of God. So what I've learned over the years, a helpful development for this in the life of every single believer is to have what we call a Bible study action plan. A Bible study action plan. I'm not going to go into what that all is right now. But basically, it's a personal plan to help us grow daily as a committed student of God's Word. And every single believer ought to and should have one of these Bible study action plans. All right, so that's the third area of our spiritual life that we're looking at in this episode. The fourth one, mission mobilization is mobilizing believers and churches to now be rooted in a right view of God. This is the fourth area. To be rooted in a right view of God. Why is this so necessary? Well, it's common across the global church, actually, for believers to buy into a rather shallow weak view of who God is in His greatness, in His splendor, in His majesty. And often we're completely unaware that we've succumbed to this low, shallow, weak view of understanding God or view of seeing what God is like. The reason this matters is because a low vision of God will produce mentalities or paradigms or even skewed perspectives that are never intended in Scripture and that are never intended by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we tend to develop viewpoints about what we imagine God is like that are not based in His Word and that are not based in the Holy Spirit's guidance and leadership revealing what God is like. Okay, that's why this is such a big issue, because it contributes to developing ideas about God that can be false and that can be actually far away from who He is in His supremacy, in His superiority, in His preeminence as the sovereign, immutable God. We want to make sure that believers are rooted in a right view of what God is like. That's one reason why a lot of people don't care about the Great Commission. All right? They might have heard those words, but they're not engaged with it. Why? Because they don't have a right view of God. If they were to have a right view of God and God's love for all humanity, they would be motivated instantaneously. All right? That's why this connects with mission mobilization. Now, we know that the enemy wants to keep this from happening, right? The enemy wants to keep the vision of believers very low. He wants to keep us with a wrong outlook in our paradigms, in our mentalities, in our perspectives, in our imaginations of what we think God might be like. The enemy wants to keep all of that. And so we know this one area of being rooted in a right view of God, this is going to be attacked by the evil one. Because he wants believers unable to serve the Great Commission, right? How does he do that? Well, give us a skewed idea of what God is like. We go to church week after week after week, continuing with a wrong outlook about what God is really like. This is a big problem in the body of Christ. And so we want to mobilize our churches to be rooted in a right view of God. All right? Now the last one. The fifth area, this core aspect, spiritual life aspects related to mission mobilization. So mission mobilization is calling believers and churches, now in our fifth area, to grow in seeing ourselves correctly. To grow in seeing ourselves correctly. So we just looked at the importance of being rooted in a right view of God Himself. But how many of us know it's necessary also to be spiritually mature? This is true. But also to have a heart for the nations and His plans in the nations, we need to see ourselves as He sees us. All right? And a lot of believers, we don't see ourselves the way that God actually sees us. And this is hindering our ability to move forward in the will of God. All right? Where do we see this from Scripture? Well, the book of Revelation calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. The accuser of the brethren. And so what is the enemy seeking to do? He wants to undermine believers to see themselves according to the wrong measuring stick, according to the wrong standard. He wants us to see ourselves according to the world's standards instead of seeing ourselves from the Word of God's standards. How does he do this? Well, he sows deception in our minds. He sows wrong thinking about ourselves. He lies to us. He gets us feeling bad about certain things. He gets us insecure. All these different areas that contribute to us not seeing ourselves according to the will of God. All right. So Satan actually has a plan. He wants believers to buy into a false narrative, a false story about who they are. All right. And he's able to do this because we as human beings, we tend to measure ourselves by a set of measuring sticks that are foreign to God and foreign to His Word. Okay, God has a very different standard of measuring us than we do. And Satan uses our measuring sticks, he stirs those things up and makes us think that those are actually God's measuring sticks. We know it's not true. The Bible tells us God looks inwardly, doesn't he? He looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the external output or the external life necessarily. He's consistently looking at the heart of believers. And when he does that, he's looking at our inner desire to please him and to obey him. Even though we're weak and we're broken and we make mistakes all the time, we fail. But the Lord says, if you confess those failures, if you repent, I see your heart that desires to please me. Yes, you mess up a lot, but I see your heart constantly striving to walk rightly, and this is pleasing to me. So it's very necessary for believers and for local churches for us to help our believers, our disciples, to deliberately develop God's viewpoint about ourselves. Okay, to develop God's viewpoint about us. How do we do that? Well, we let his truth in the Word of God wash over us. We allow people to affirm us and to encourage us and to see little things and to build us up in walking in Christ and walking in God's viewpoint. And in doing this, we actually root out the deep sense that believers walk with today, rooting out inadequacy, rooting out a sense of insecurity, rooting out even fear. These are very real issues that believers are walking in because we're not seeing ourselves correctly yet from God's perspective. All right? And then we also have these attacks from the evil one that tell us, oh, you're not worthy to be a follower of Jesus. What have you done to be good enough for his blood? Well, we know we've done nothing to be good enough for his blood. We are guilty. We are sinners. That's why we need the gospel. That's why we need his goodness. Of course we're unworthy. We are totally unworthy. When Satan comes and lies to us and says, you are unworthy, you hypocrite, we don't argue with him. We say, yes, you're right. Of course we are. And the blood of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus covers over my unrighteous, filthy rags that I have. Of course I'm unworthy. Of course I'm a hypocrite, but he's perfect and he's given his life for me. And so that makes me right before God. We need to see God's viewpoint about us and overcome the often weak and wrong viewpoint that we have of ourselves. So mobilization includes this. Now, most of us have not even thought about these things. We think about this more in lines of just regular church life and discipleship. Yes, it is that, but it is also massively related to mission mobilization. Okay, because mobilization is about enabling the people of God to overcome a lot of our self-rejection. A lot of believers, we carry self-hatred, self-rejection. This is often based in failure, again, from our past. Or it's based in not being able to discern the accusations of the evil one from the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit convicts us. And sometimes people don't realize that that is from God. Okay, but now we need to understand when the enemy is coming and accusing us in a false way, we don't listen to that. Okay, many believers do listen to that though, and they end up disqualifying themselves because they had a wrong view of who they are, encouraged by the works of darkness and the enemy trying to deceive and to lie. So instead, it's very necessary to help us to repent, to help the body of Christ to confess, recognizing that the blood of Jesus applied to our broken and mistake-filled hearts, when we're repentant, again, the blood of Christ qualifies us. We don't qualify for any ministry in and of ourselves, but the blood of Christ qualifies us as his ambassadors. He has called us as ambassadors of reconciliation. It's another word for a missionary, someone who's serving the Lord among those who are lost. So I want to encourage us with these five areas. Let's commit to being leaders who are calling our local ministries to each of these five areas, these core spiritual life aspects that God is wanting to develop our churches with. And then next time, we're going to talk about some of the mission-oriented areas that we're going to be mobilizing our church in. Okay, but today's episode was all about the core spiritual life aspects of mission mobilization. Again, the list is much longer than this. I encourage you to go do some research on your own. Also, my book, Rethinking Global Mobilization, includes a lot more exhaustive of a list of these core spiritual life aspects. Let me pray for us. Lord, we need you. We need your victory and your power to call our churches to go deeper in spiritual life realities. Lord, we thank you that you are a faithful God and that you are calling your church back to yourself, Lord, towards wholeheartedness. And that if you can get us to that point, then the overflow of that will, of course, be mission activation. Lord, we need this. We need this process across our local churches. Father, we're praying for the power to see these core spiritual life aspects put into the life of each fellowship that is represented through watching or listening, Lord, through to this podcast. Lord, we thank you for that. Bless each local church as they integrate these five areas of spiritual, core spiritual life aspects of mobilization, Lord, into their churches. We thank you for it. We commit them to you. In the name and by the blood of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you this week as you mobilize for the Great Commission.
To listen to more Mission Mobilization Chats, subscribe on YouTube or go to globalmmi.net.